We're spending some time this week in the Bay Area of California. Our tech reporting team is exploring its place in American culture and the economy. This is a part of the country where rents have been skyrocketing, fueled by tight housing stock and the latest tech boom. NPR's Elise Hu found some young professionals who've turned the situation into an opportunity.
In this crowded kitchen of a huge San Francisco house, sweet potato peanut soup is on the stove, and someone's marinating steak for later. No fewer than 9 people take part in this organized chaos of cooking, and it happens here at least twice a week.
Food is a core component of what we do, and I think it's something that is a really easy way to unite people in a really low-pressure kind of environment.
Jesse Shingler, a former NASA engineer, lives in this house with a dozen other professionals with different jobs. They include an architect, a tech entrepreneur, and someone who works in the mayor's office. Shingler says this kind of kitchen commotion creates community, so long as everyone abides by the one sacred rule: no dishes get left in the sink. It's part of keeping order when you live with so many friends.
We live here, but we also host events. We have hackathons, and we have salons, and we have concerts.
She estimates there are now about 50 of these big group living arrangements in and around the Bay Area, where 10 or more unrelated folks move in together in grand estates. They share groceries, some meals, and cars. Just be careful about calling this a commune.
It is certainly a way to say it, but there's a whole bunch of negative things that come out of that word.
That's Derek Dunfield, a behavioral economist and a housemate here.
Yes, it's absolutely modern commune. We prefer the term co-living. I think what it really is an example of what the sharing economy can actually do.
He's lived in this 7,500-square-foot place since the group moved in a year and a half ago.
We found this place on Craigslist. It's an old Edwardian mansion, 3 stories.
The common areas feature large living and dining spaces, even a music room, and an early 1900s bowling alley in the basement. In addition to fun, they get some economies of scale by sharing. Census numbers show San Franciscans pay the highest rent in the country, prices driven by the latest tech boom and a maxed-out market. Median rent for a 2-bedroom apartment here is $3,200, but co-livers can pay half that.
San Francisco is way too hot right now.
David Sobel heads the San Francisco Housing Development Corporation, a nonprofit that advocates for affordable housing options in the city.
You need to be a millionaire, really, to buy a home at the median home price nowadays. That does not bode well for an overall diverse and healthy city, which is one of the great traditions of San Francisco.
Sobel says he likes that young professionals have found ways to make city dwelling possible because cities do need income diversity. But when mansions get scooped up quickly, it does make an impact on the market.
So that individuals and families that are looking to purchase or rent those same resources are going to have even more competition to do so. Ultimately, I think there needs to be a balance between those two forces.
Plenty of co-living folks feel the same way. That's why they're expanding to other parts of the Bay Area, like Berkeley, just east of San Francisco. Here, 2 business school grads head up a smaller co-living house.
Welcome.
They say it's more than just random roommates coming together. Instead, co-founder Jay Standish says co-living is a way that online connections are turning into offline communities.
In some ways, this is the millennial generation's take on how to live together. Maybe we say social networking, but that's actually just community or a tribe or a village.
Technology brought them together, but they realize this kind of lifestyle dates to the beginning of civilization. Co-founder Ben Proven.
It's definitely a case of going back to the future. One of the differences that I think distinguishes it is we now have tools and technologies that allow us to organize in better and different ways.
Now, the founders of the San Francisco house and this Berkeley home have organized themselves into a startup real estate business. They're now enticing investors to help them buy some big homes. On this morning, the guys are checking out a building for sale in Berkeley, not far from a BART public transit station. The place has a retail storefront on the first level and residential above.
A couple bay windows. It says on the top 1904. It means it was just before the earthquake. There's potential.
Back in the rented mansion in San Francisco, dinner's served. About 20 people, housemates and some guests, sit around a table lit by an antique chandelier.
Oh, yeah.
They were once strangers. Online networks made them friends, and living together makes them more like family. After dinner, in keeping with the one rule of this giant house, someone will do all the dishes. Elise Hu, NPR News.